Today I'm going to be talking about a study that I was involved in at the University of Vermont with my co-authors Barbara Cade Menon from Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada and Jane Hill, who's also from the University of Vermont. We did a leachate phosphorus fractionation study of a soil column that was amended at the surface with poultry manure. And as we heard just previously, agricultural non-point source pollution has been linked in many cases to animal manures and the application of animal manures to agricultural soils, with the eventual result of lake eutrophication. And many studies have looked at how phosphorus will move through the soil or over soil, and particularly in phosphorus in manured soils. Many environments have been studied at the field scale. Drainage and soil collected seasonally have been assessed for changes in pools of inorganic and organic phosphorus. Transect studies have been done that have looked at organic phosphorus pools from a manure source to a drainage ditch, for example. And then lysimeters and packed columns have also been used to look at how phosphorus moves vertically through a soil depth. But one thing that a lot of these studies have in common is that they don't take into consideration how soil phosphorus is changing concurrent with the leaching event. And so we thought that in order to fully understand what was going on during experiments like this, we would have to also sample soil at the same time. So our focus based on that was phosphorus transformations over time and space. And in the case of this study, our space was depth. And based on that focus, our objectives were first to track the transport and transformation of soil organic phosphorus in relation to other changing soil characteristics, such as water extractable and bicarbonate extractable phosphorus, which is what I'll talk about today. And then secondly, to characterize leachate phosphorus fractions while we were assessing changes in soil phosphorus during the leaching process. And so the way that we did this was by constructing these columns. The columns were about 25 centimeters in diameter, about 30 centimeters deep. They were fitted with three soil sampling ports, as you can see in this picture, at 5 centimeter intervals. They were offset horizontally so that there wasn't any vertical collapse of the soil. We had three of these. They were also fitted with spigots for leachate collection, and these were amended with poultry manure at the surface. And then we had two soil control columns. One had a sampling port at the 10 to 15 centimeter depth, and one did not. And they both had spigots for leachate collection. Again, these had no manure. And so the utility of these two together is that we could see without the influence of manure how our sampling strategy was influencing our leachate measurements. So our sampling site was in Salisbury, Vermont. We got our fresh poultry manure from a layer facility here, about 32,000 birds, which is quite large for Vermont. And about a mile north of that here, we collected our soil. This particular field had been amended with poultry manure since the early 1930s and had previously been cultivated with corn in 2003. We had collected our soil in 2008, so there's about 3 years where the field they follow. And with the soil that we collected, we sieved and wet packed into the columns. Every 2 weeks, we collected fresh soil and extracted with water, bicarbonate, and NaOH EDTA solutions. The phosphorus in the water and bicarbonate extracts were determined colorimetrically. NaOH EDTA extracts were freeze-dried and assessed using solution P31 NMR. Dry soil was also taken and digested for phosphorus and metals, and pH, carbon, and nitrogen were measured. And then we leached the columns once a week and collected the leachate. The whole leachate was digested for phosphorus and metals. The filtered leachate was assessed using ICP for total dissolved phosphorus and colorimetrically for dissolved molybdate reactive phosphorus. And then as you can see on the bottom, we had a couple defined fractions as the difference between total particulate being total phosphorus and the dissolved phosphorus, and then our unreactive phosphorus fraction as the difference between the total and the reactive and our filtered leachate. So now to talk about the results, I'll come back to our first objective, which is to track the transport and transformation of soil organic phosphorus pools in relation to soil characteristics. So first I'll talk about what our bicarbonate and water extractable phosphorus concentrations we're doing. This is a plot of our soil concentrations in milligrams per kilogram over the 10 weeks that we sampled. And what you can see immediately is that our bicarbonate extractable phosphorus was consistently higher in the soil than our water extractable phosphorus, as you might expect. The colored points here and along the bottom are our soil controls. So the first thing that jumps out is that when we added the manure, there was a lot more soluble phosphorus in the soil than compared with our controls without the manure. Another thing that we can see is that if you look at these specific points, which are averages for each depth, this being 0 to 5, 5 to 10, 10 to 15, see that our concentrations of bicarbonate in this case is decreasing with distance from our manure source, which is good evidence that manure was contributing soluble phosphorus over the 10 weeks. And you can see that this is consistent for our weeks 2 through 8, and then in 10 it may not line up because a lot of the phosphorus had leached at that point in the experiment. And then an overall trend occurred where we saw soluble phosphorus increasing with time. And so this could be linked to the manure application, as we saw in the other points that I highlighted. And we also saw that with depth, that phosphorus could be moving downward from a manure source. But when we consider the increase in soluble P over time, one way that people describe this is by talking about the biological cycling of organic phosphorus and the release of soluble phosphorus from these compounds by soil microbes. And so, although we couldn't measure this directly in this particular experiment, we did have our solution P31 NMR analysis, which gave us some indication that certain compounds associated with biological activity were being produced and were showing up in our NMR analysis. And so here I have an example of a plot of pyrophosphate. Although this isn't organic phosphorus, it is produced as a storage form of phosphorus in soil organisms, or microbes more specifically. And this is the relative proportion of pyrophosphate over the 10 weeks of the study. And we knew that in our initial soil there was no pyrophosphate present. We also knew that in week 2 there was none. And then from week 4 onward, it was present, suggesting that there was some sort of production happening by soil bacteria. And this was also consistent for DNA, as I haven't highlighted here, but it's the case. And then another indicator that we saw was the alpha and beta glycerophosphates and adenosine monophosphate. Alpha and beta glycerophosphates are degradation products of cellular debris, phospholipids. Adenosine monophosphate can degrade from ATP, which is abundant in cellular processes as well. And so we see here that for the 10 to 15 centimeter depth, and here I'm highlighting AMP, but this was true for alpha and beta glycerophosphate as well, we see that there's this increasing trend throughout the 10 weeks of sampling, which means that not only were cellular materials being produced, but they could have been degraded and they could have been accumulating in these forms. And so coming back to the second objective, whereas before I talked about what was happening in the soil column, now I'll talk about what was happening during that soil sampling process in our leachate. So here I have a plot of the dissolved reactive phosphorus over the 10 weeks. And here it's presented as percent of total dissolved phosphorus. And you can see the increasing trend over the 10 weeks, which is similar to what we saw in our soluble phosphorus pools in the soils. But in terms of absolute concentration, it was also the case from less than 1 to greater than 2 milligrams per liter by the end of the study. And again, we see that there is this increasing trend over time. And when we add in our control columns, we see that the increasing trend wasn't as pronounced in the control columns. And this, again, suggests that manure had an influence on what we were seeing in these measurements. And it also shows us that there is a rapid leaching of unreactive phosphorus forms, which is what other people have observed in poultry manure amended systems. And so now I'll talk about the particulate fraction of the phosphorus. Here I have a stacked plot of phosphorus, iron, and aluminum particulate. For individual columns, in the legend on the bottom left, you can see that the closed symbols are manured columns, the open symbols are controls. And the first thing that jumps out is the correlation of phosphorus with iron and phosphorus with aluminum in the particulate fraction. And here I just have the control highlighted because it's rather central to the figure, but for all of the, for both the controls and the manured columns, the correlations were greater than 0.88. Another thing that jumps out is the difference in how large the concentration of particulate phosphorus and aluminum were in the manured columns compared to the control columns. We can see that a lot more particulate phosphorus was coming off of the manured columns. And so we can see that manure enhanced particle leaching in our system. And another interesting thing that came out of the comparison of the two controls, the one with the sampling port and the one without the sampling port, was that the control without the sampling port tended to have higher concentrations of particulate losses than the one with the sampling port, suggesting that the sampling strategy that we were using didn't have a great influence on what we were seeing in our leachate. And so in conclusion, the changes that we were seeing in soil and leachate phosphorus, we saw that with manure application, there was an overall increase in the bicarbonate and water extractable phosphorus pools, and that was concurrent with what we were seeing in our dissolved phosphorus trends. We also saw that there was a rapid leaching of unreactive forms. And then with depth, there is a decrease in soluble phosphorus from the manure source throughout the column, and that also over time we saw increases in solubility, which from our NMR data suggests that there may be some link to biological activity through the proportional changes that we saw in certain organic species. And I'd just like to acknowledge some folks from the University of Vermont that helped me out on this project, Stanford University, Corey Liu for actually running the NMR experiments, Barbara Cade Menon for a lot of her analysis and moral support, I guess, and then our funding sources. Thank you.